The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Avery Lewis from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence and Ebony magazines. The first article from Essence magazine, No Size Fits All. Can we set the record straight or something? You don't have to be a size 4 who works out constantly and eats salad at every meal to be considered healthy. A healthy lifestyle is about being aware of the type of food you put in your body and how you get moving in whatever way that keeps you going. A person could be 100 pounds and plagued with health issues, or be 200 pounds and a muscular gym regular who watches what she eats. Everyone has a different body structure. It isn't a negative thing. God made us different for a reason, says Thomas Boats Wan, personal trainer and co-owner of Harlem Hilt, a New York City fitness studio. One of the main things that individuals should focus on is maximizing their current potential. Believe it or not, there are plenty of people who may look healthy due to their physique and fast metabolism, but on the inside, they aren't doing so well. Good habits, not weight loss, are at the center of being physically, mentally, and emotionally fit. Each of the women here defines what it means to be healthy and happy at their current size. Ronnie Howard, Vibes and Vanessa Company co-founder, professional model, and wellness advocate, age 30. Ronnie Howard is a champion for health and a fitness enthusiast who is defying traditional beauty standards and looking good while doing so. Through her modeling work, she's been featured on BET's Rip the Runway, in Health and Ebony magazine's Ashley Stewart and Kohl's campaigns, and on air at QVC Networks. But the model life has not always been easy, especially because her weight has fluctuated. Now at a healthy and stable size 14, the Philadelphia native doesn't care what others think about her weight. She's getting better at time management too. It involves creating boundaries, Howard says. I work such a busy schedule. I have to make time for things that make me feel good inside and out. I do yoga a few times a week, meditate, eat well, and take care of my hair, skin, and nails. I also indulge in a luxurious bath every now and then. Little things make all the difference when it comes to self-care. Bianca Genty, MIM Connect, Minorities and Media Connect, co-founder and CMO, age 28. It can't be easy juggling a full-time job while creating a new lane for minorities to get hired, but Bianca Genty has it covered as one half of her team behind MIM Connect, a networking platform that gives marginalized people access to career opportunities and resources. In just a few years, she and her partner, Netta Dobbins, have built a stable of publicists, writers, and other creatives to help develop a more impactful and inclusive media landscape. But as the company grew, the constant New York City grind took a toll. There were health issues coming up, Genty says. I had to decide what boundaries I needed to set for myself and say, I need to get to the gym 2 or 3 times a week. She found that being disciplined in her personal life led to more professional discipline, and she can now occasionally indulge in her favorite healthy snacks. Himalayan popcorn, Popcorners kettle corn, and sweet potato chips. Nicole Kanye, xonicole.com, founder and editor, age 38, size 4. Nicole Kanye seemed to be living the dream. The successful celebrity gossip blogger had gained industry cred as one of the go-to sources in black celebrity news with her new, now-defunct entertainment site, NicoleBitchy.com, NicoleBitchie.com. You're going to events, parties, red carpets, and it looks glamorous, but it's exhausting, Kanye recalls. Unhappy with her life, she pulled the plug, packed her bags, and moved to Arizona. The wake-up call was when journalist Michael Finney passed away, she says. Then a year later, it was Q from World Star Hip Hop. They were young and working their dream jobs. I decided I didn't want to work this hard just to drop dead. I reset and recalibrated. Kanye now lives more on purpose as the editor-in-chief of xonicole.com, a women's lifestyle and empowerment site, and as a professional bikini bodybuilder. Ravall Davis, actress and host, age 34, size 10. It's never too late to reinvent yourself. Ravall Davis is living proof. After getting her start in digital media, the entertainment journalist shifted to managing social media for some of her favorite artists, including CeeLo Green, Tamar Braxton, and Prince and Michael Jackson. But Davis's true calling would not be denied, and she decided to pursue her lifelong dream of becoming an actress. She hosted a show for BET and booked commercials for Carol's Daughter and other brands, but quickly realized she didn't fit the mold of what a traditional actress looks like because she's a size 10. Now she's using her body positive platform to inspire others. Everyone has something they love about themselves, and we should focus on that, she says. Loving your body is an active process. Alice Garcia, We Give to Founder, age 29, size 6. One might think that because she's so busy helping others, she wouldn't make time to help herself. That's not the case with Alice Garcia, founder of We Give Too, an organization that connects millennials of color with philanthropic causes that can donate to and volunteer for. Garcia has been driven by the idea that to whom much is given, much is expected. She believes that it is our duty to reach back, give back, and assist our communities along the path to personal and collective greatness. But her first priority has always been the pursuit of a healthy body and mind. For me, self-care ultimately looks like taking at least a few moments out of each day to do something to nourish my spirit, she says. Whether you're working out, lying in bed, or sitting in reflection, it takes a strong mental and physical spirit to lead. The next article, Books to Grow By, from antidotes penned by former Obama staffers to essays about blackness that are sure to make you laugh. Our growth-fueled picks this month are proof that the personal is always political. Plus, check out DC mover and shaker and author Valerie Jarrett's current literary phase. Identity Politics, in Reclaiming Our Space, How Black Feminists Are Changing the World from the Tweets to the Streets. Beacon Press, 1495. Social worker and activist Feminista Jones draws a line from the Black Feminist Foundation built by the Combahee River Collective in the 70s to the social media-driven organizing of activist voices today. They are the key to our liberation indeed. The greatest love of all. Jumping the broom is a cherished tradition, but in the engagement game, Why I Said I Don't to Marriage and I Do to Me. Center Street, 1499. Essence Senior Entertainment Editor Joy Marie McKenzie talks about her journey from being consumed with persuading her boyfriend to propose to realizing the only person she needs to persuade to adore her forever is herself. Yes, she can. Shining moments. It's no secret that the federal government is currently in disarray, but Molly Dillon's Yes, She Can, 10 stories of hope and change from young female staffers of the Obama White House, 1899, reminds us of what was and what can be again. Grownish star Yara Shahidi writes the foreword. Black Beauty. He's made you cackle for years. Now Damon Young, editor-in-chief of Very Smart Brothers, transfers the magic to the pages of his new effort, What Doesn't Kill You Makes You Blacker, a memoir in essays, $27.99. His hilarious and sometimes harrowing essays devolve into the triumphs and absurdities of being black in America. On her bookshelf, enter the world of this powerful political insider. We first met Valerie Jarrett as the Obama's closest advisor, but in Finding My Voice, My Journey to the West Wing and the Path, $30, we're introduced to the compelling story of this Iranian-born, Chicago-bred attorney. Essence Magazine asks Jarrett what she's reading. Essence asks, What is your favorite of all time? Valerie mentioned To Kill a Mockingbird by Harper Lee. It is a deeply moving tale about race, humanity, and grace. Essence also asks, what is the last book you read and enjoyed? Valerie said, Becoming Michelle Obama, bravely shared her authenticity story in hopes of inspiring others to share theirs. Essence also asked, what are your excited next reads? Valerie said, Elaine Welderoth's More Than Enough. She is a young trailblazer who has demonstrated the importance of knowing our own value regardless of what others may say. The next article is titled Shades of Beauty. Her work is mesmerizing and her influence far-reaching. World-renowned makeup artist and cosmetics entrepreneur Pat McGrath is an industry icon. Here are a few things you probably didn't know about her. Essence asks, what does it mean for you to be a black woman who is considered the most influential makeup artist across the globe? Pat reads, the love I feel from people of all hues never ceases to amaze me, but the support I receive day in and day out from my sisters is what drives me to keep going, to keep pushing. I hope that everything I'm doing demonstrates that no matter where you come from or the color of your skin, if you're willing to work hard, anything is possible. Essence, what inspires you? Inspiration is everywhere. Beauty is everywhere. Whether it's some dark London club basement, the most hot Irish couture salon, or a beach in Jamaica, if your eyes are open, you'll see new things that inspire innovation. Essence, why was it important for you to launch your own beauty collection? Pat, I wanted to create products I've dreamed about since I was a little girl with Pat McGrath Labs. Every single thing that we launch is something that I am obsessed with and that will work for cosmetics connoisseurs of all ages and skin tones. Essence, do you have a mentor? Pat, my mother, Jean McGrath, was my first and ultimate mentor. She was a beauty junkie long before the term existed and absolutely passionate about fashion. Watching her relentless quest to produce the perfect look from humble resources taught me that with inspiration and innovation, everything is achievable. Essence, what do you think about the industry becoming more inclusive? Pat, the fact that the vast majority of companies didn't have inclusive shades ranges never made sense to me. As a beauty fanatic, I'm thrilled to know that my sisters and brothers now have access to items that work for them at all price points. Essence, how has your Jamaican heritage informed your work? Pat, Jamaica is everything to me. My top three muses are of Jamaican descent: Naomi Campbell, Grace Jones, and my mother. Essence, what would you tell someone who would like to follow in your footsteps? Pat, when it comes to your talent, your creativity, your dedication, and your passion, use it all without caution. An article from Ebony. Utah Jazz's Kyle Korver talks white privilege and racism in the NBA. Kyle Korver shared an op-ed he wrote for the Players Tribune titled Privileged on Monday. In the piece, the Jazz player spoke about racism in the NBA and how he was naive to the strife that black players go through on and off the court. The NBA veteran detailed how he was on the wrong side of the argument when he found out his Thabo Sefolosho, his current teammate on the Jazz and former teammate on the Hawks, was assaulted by the NYPD during an arrest on April 8, 2015, outside of Manhattan's One Oak nightclub. During the arrest, the black Swiss native suffered a broken fibula and ligament damage that sidelined him for the remainder of the season, according to ESPN. Anyway, on the morning, I found out that Thabo had been arrested. Want to know what my first thought was? Korver wrote about my friend and teammate. My first thought was, what was Thabo doing at a nightclub on a back-to-back? What was Thabo doing out at a club on a back-to-back? Korver revealed he felt as though he let Seth and himself down because he was so quick to point the finger at his friend and teammate. He continued, how's he doing? Not what happened during the arrest. Not something seems off with this story. Nothing like that. Before I knew the full story, and before I'd even had the chance to talk to Thabo, I sort of blame Thabo. The small forward opened up about this white privilege when he discussed Russell Westbrook's incident with a Utah Jazz fan in March, in which the Oklahoma City star alleged that a now banned fan yelled racially charged things at him. Korver revealed that the Jazz team had a meeting about the Westbrook incident, and many of them shared similar stories of grief dealing with the constant racism in the NBA. He said his teammates, including Seth, appeared to be embarrassed and tired of the how little is done to protect them as players. This wasn't the first time they'd been taking part in conversations about race in their NBA careers, and it wasn't the first time they'd had to address the hateful actions of others. Korver, 38, wrote, and one big thing that got brought up a lot in the meeting was how incidents like this, they weren't only about the people directly involved. This wasn't only about Russ and some heckler. It was about more than that. The 38-year-old then acknowledged how being white in the NBA, which is 75% made up of players of color, is a form of privilege. And after the events in Salt Lake City last month, and as we've been discussing them since, I really started to recognize the role those demographics play in my privilege, he continued. It's like I may be Fatboy's friend or EKPEUDOH's teammate or Russ's colleague. I may work with those guys, and I absolutely 100% stand with them, but I look like the other guy. He then called for his people to do more than be passive allies to the struggles of those from the Black community. I know that as a white man, I have to hold my fellow white men accountable. Corver wrote in the conclusion, we all have to hold each other accountable, and it's about understanding that Black Lives Matter and movements like it matter because, well, let's face it, I probably would have been safe on the street that one night in New York and Fatboy wasn't. And I was safe on the court that one night in Utah and Russell wasn't. Several prominent African American athletes, including LeBron James, applauded Corver for speaking out. Salute to my brother means a lot, James tweeted. And like you said, I hope people listen. Just open your ears and listen. The next article from Essence reads, 10 things we're talking about. Number 1, boss moves. If you haven't seen Nadine Burke Harris's TED Talk on childhood trauma, you should. The pediatrician who trained at the California Pacific Medical Center shaped her career around helping people understand the health, behavioral, and learning complications that come from adverse childhood experiences. In response to the persistent need she saw in her community, Harris founded the Center for Youth Wellness to combat the consequences of early exposure to said ordeals. The Ardent Advocate also published The Deepest Well, which takes a piercing look at how the pursuit of racial injustice, of racial and social justice has become an urgent public health issue. And now the pioneer in toxic stress treatment is serving as California's first ever Surgeon General. In her new role, Harris will work on tackling the root causes of far-reaching health conditions and healing trauma in young families throughout the state. STEM Camp, Southern Illinois University, Carbondale, in partnership with Kuiper Center for Social Impact, is grooming a new cohort of STEM leaders. This summer, the institutions are launching Smash Academy, an annual 5-week all-expense-paid camp for underrepresented students in the Chicago and Southern Illinois areas who are interested in math, biology, chemistry, and engineering. Stronger Together. The federal government is reinforcing its commitment to HBCUs with the newly introduced HBCU Partners Act. The bipartisan legislation fortifies the relationship between federal agencies and the nation's historic schools by requiring that both entities collaborate on yearly plans to expand upon the HBCU mission and submit their formal goals to Congress as a way to track progress. Number 4, preserving the legacy. W.E. Du Bois' former church home is one step closer to receiving a much-needed makeover. Black-owned firm Huff & Gordon Architects has been hired to restore the Clinton A.M.E. Zion Church in Great Barrington, Massachusetts, to its former glory. The project, which cost approximately $1.2 million, will rehab the structure into a center focusing on the legacy of the famed author and civil rights activist. Number 5, A Lane for Us. Bike Equity is a powerful tool for increasing access to transportation in U.S. cities. However, researchers at the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health found that bike infrastructure is often designed to accommodate the needs of cyclists from wealthier neighborhoods, even though low-income communities represent the fastest-growing population of riders. Number six, I aim to speak with greater courage and conviction about injustices beyond our borders, particularly those that are funded by our government and stand in solidarity with struggles for democracy and freedom. My conscience leaves me no other choice. By Michelle Alexander, addressing the Palestinian-Israeli crisis in a stirring New York Times op-ed. Number seven, guns down. Washington, D.C.'s Community Justice Action Fund started a crusade to pursue pressure on elected leaders to end gun violence in communities of color. The Building for Us campaign is a five-year initiative that empowers officials to pass smart policies that will aid in reducing gun-related homicide, domestic violence, and suicide. Number eight, calling black doctors. A new study published by the National Bureau of Economic Research provides evidence that the scarcity of black doctors, who compose roughly 6% of U.S. specialties, could be contributing to a higher death rate among black men. Results show that 62% of black men went to a follow-up screening if their doctor was black, compared to 36% who were assigned to non-black physicians. Number nine, the arts of giving. The Baltimore Museum of Art has long prioritized diverse works that reflect its prominent African-American community, and now with the help of married philanthropist Eddie C. and Sylvia Brown, that mission just got a $3.5 million boost. As part of their contribution, the Browns are now an African-American couple with a chief curatorial position named in their honor. Number 10, Let's Ride. This fall, Los Angeles Metro riders can hop on the mass transit system at Hyde Park and take new Crenshaw / LAX line through 1.3 miles of open-air installations. Dubbed Destination Crenshaw, the unique space will celebrate the rich culture of African-American Angelenos and expose visitors to what is affectionately known as the heart of Black L.A. Well, that was our last article. We have run out of time today for today's episode of Ebony. We hope you have enjoyed it, and be sure to listen next time. I am Avra Lewis, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, trianglereadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138, 919-832-5138. So long, until next time.